All right. Well, with no further ado, I'm going to call Paul Rapley up, one of our very favorite people that come and minister from time to time. Paul is all about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and I love that. So let's give Paul a hand. Stretch your hands towards him, and let's bless him. Father, we thank you for Paul. We bless him in the name of Jesus. We bless his going out and his coming in. Father, we bless him in his intimate relationship with you. And Father, we bless him with the favor that he has in the body of Christ worldwide. Father, we just want to release your goodness upon him now. I pray that he would leave this place more refreshed than when he came. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's an honor to partner with you. Good to be back. How are you guys doing? It's been a slow time in the news. It's hard to think of something to talk about. All right. It's good to see your faces. As a kid, being from the Twin Cities, I just thought nobody goes to church on Labor Day weekend. They're all up north. So when we were talking about this, I was like, are people going to be there? You're here. Yay. It's good to see you. All right, cool. I also want to pray too. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We exalt you. We worship you and we praise your name. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. And we welcome your angels, Lord God, for healing and for words of knowledge and everything you want done. Give me your words to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Amen. I always like to start by sharing some testimonies. I was just in Bemidji on yesterday and Friday, and Jesus likes to heal the folks up north as well. And so there was a gentleman who came into the service on Friday night, and he had been in excruciating pain for a little over a decade. He had had a hip replacement surgery, and apparently something didn't go right, and he's been in extreme chronic pain basically always for more than 10 years, and especially in his knee, but his hip and his neck and so forth weren't doing very good either. And yeah, he walked with a cane, and not anymore. Thank you, Jesus. People in the service laid hands on him, and he's like, the pain's gone. Come on, Jesus. My balance is good. And he's walking, and I'd never seen the guy before, so I mean, he looked like he's walking normally to me, but the people in the church got quite excited. We've never seen him walk like this. Come on, Jesus. God is good. Amen? Another gentleman in the church, he was up for, was wanting to get disability for his back, but he's like, you know what? Healed is better than disability. And so now he's in the second category, not the first category. Thank you, Jesus. Another gentleman came into the church, and he had crutches and a boot on his foot, and he had broken his leg, and received some prayer for that. And after prayer, he wasn't 100%, but he says, all the pain's gone, the swelling's gone down dramatically, and he was quite happy about this. Thank you, Lord. Jesus just likes to heal the folks of Minnesota. Amen? Amen? Yeah. He's good at doing it, not just someplace far away. He's good at doing it here.
That's right.
Amen? So that was all in the last 48 hours. So anyway, and there was a whole bunch more. I think there's actually more healings than people in the meeting. So there was a lot that Jesus healed in just a short window of time. So anyway, I have a video clip I want to show. I always like to show a video clip of the power of God touching people, and this just really needs to be watched. I had the privilege, some of you may have seen this, of being in this movie back a while ago called Christ in You. And my friends who made that made a second movie now. The sequel is now out. And it's all different people in the second movie because it's supposed to be Christ in anyone, not just Christ in the people that were in the first movie. And so, at any rate, some of my good friends are in the second movie. And at any rate, you just need to watch this clip. This is from the second movie. Go ahead. Oh, you got to go to 25 minutes and 14 seconds. That's the beginning. I'll say something real quick in the meantime. All right, one more fun testimony. So I was in Taiwan for 4.5 months, which I affectionately dubbed the Promised Land. And so I was in Philippines. They went into lockdown in mid-March. I went to Malaysia. They went into lockdown 4 days later. I just paid attention to the news because my schedule had become remarkably cleared out. And Italy was not going to happen. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that. And Qatar was not going to happen and so forth. And so anyway, just wave at me when you guys get there. Oh, you're already there. Oh, well, at any rate, Jesus moved in Taiwan. Okay, go ahead.
Hi,
graphic design company. I have 6 kids, 3 of which are triplets, and a beautiful wife named Janine.
Hey, did you make any new friends today? So this is Ashley, and Ashley is our youngest. She is part of, yeah, you are. She is one of the triplets. This is Amberlyn. She is 14.
13.
Right, okay. Not too long ago, my son, Tyler, he came down with a very unique sickness and disease, became literally a normal kid, a special needs kid overnight. He quit talking, he quit eating, he went into these fits of rage. He literally lay on the floor and just pound and beat his face. And this was like, he was all but lost. We were told to institutionalize him because it was such a, it was incredible, it was horrific. No parent would want to see or experience something like this. We found out what it is. It's a thing called PANDAS. It's basically a strep infection that hits the brain. While that's happening, my mom gets stage 4 melanoma cancer. And I get a disease called decalation where the esophagus quits breathing. While at the same time planting church. And this is what I hear Jesus say to me. Brian, I want you to pray for the sick like you've never prayed for the sick before. Hey, by any chance, do you ever have like any pain in your right shoulder or lower back area? No? Do you ever have any problems with your neck or your shoulder or your back?
All the time.
Can I pray for you real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, what would you give your pain level right now?
No, I just had surgery yesterday.
You did? Okay, watch this. Okay, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. I command all the pain to go right now out of your neck. In Jesus' name, you're going to feel like a warm, tingling presence come on your body, and the pain's going to go right now for the glory of Christ and your great love. Okay, now move around and tell me what you feel going on in your body. Come, Holy Spirit. There it is, more. Let your power come, let your presence go upon it right there. God, I bless what you're doing. I'll ask for more, Holy Spirit. Let your power rest upon it right there. More. Let it come. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, what are you experiencing right now?
My body is twitching right now.
Yeah, it's twitching, yeah. Where's the pain at? Move it around. Look for it. You're feeling the presence of God on you. You don't have it.
I've had a sin in the world.
Yeah.
I can't even talk right now.
Yeah. You're just, I think your hand's shaking, your eyes were fluttering.
You can hold on to
yes, I'll give you my phone. What's gone? Is there any pain at all in your body? Completely gone. Come on, Jesus. You're just stunned by it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt anything like this before? No, that's Jesus. It's the same Jesus that's touching your body. It's the same Jesus that wants to come into your heart. Would you like to receive Jesus in your heart, Paula? Okay, let's pray this. Say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? I give you my life. If you can heal my body, you can heal my heart. So I give you all my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Paula. Hey, is that awesome?
I really needed that.
You needed that, huh? Wow. So you just felt like this tingling, like... Yeah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
I prayed like not too long ago. I did it right. I couldn't breathe like I was injured. And then like 30
minutes later. So God heard your prayer. He's pursuing your heart. He's pursuing you. I got one of my drinks. I just got one drink. I know. Hey, listen. It's kind of hard to function after that. Oh, man. God's just touching me, huh? Yeah. No, it's okay. God, it's amazing because God just touched your body and he touched your heart. And he just loves you. And he really heard your prayer. That's all he wants you to know. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Hey, you call me seriously.
Okay. All right, go ahead and hit stop. All right, so that's a part of this. You know, people... We as believers have all sorts of reasons of why we disqualify ourselves from seeing Jesus work through us. They were not the same gender, not the same race, not the same generation. And we come up with excuses for why God can't work through us to be the change that we need in this world. Amen? We have opportunities. Amen? To see the goodness of Jesus touch people because he cares about them. I was talking to my friend in Southern California not too long ago, and I asked him, I said, you know, it's been pretty rough, the lockdown you guys have had in California. I said, how are you doing with it all? He says, Paul, since lockdown happened in California, this has been the best time of my entire life. Okay, that was not the answer I was expecting to hear. Please explain. This is a good friend of mine. This guy is like practically Luengo. I mean, he fasts probably more days of the month than he eats. And every time I'm over at his house, he's fasting. And he says, Paul, he says, for 3 years, I have prayed and fasted for my family, my friends, my neighbors, everyone around me to come to know Jesus. And he says, I've seen very little results. He said, since this lockdown happened, every single one of them has gotten saved. He says, family members have gotten delivered off drugs. Lives have been changed. He says, my neighbors, they couldn't talk to anybody. So any person they could talk to is me. So we would talk through the fence and share the gospel. And they're all open. Whenever there's a crisis, there's an opportunity. After 9/11 happened in New York City, churches were full in New York City. Unfortunately, it didn't stay that way. My home church is in Santa Rosa, California. In Santa Rosa, about 6,000 of the houses and buildings in town burned to the ground about 3 years ago. This is a town a little bit bigger than Rochester. And 80-some people died. Right after that, churches were filled for a few weeks. But unfortunately, it didn't stay that way as well. We have an opportunity. If it's been a difficult time to be a Christian in the last 6 months, it's a lot more difficult if you don't know Jesus. And it's really been an opportunity for us to realize that we've placed our hope in a whole lot of things other than Jesus. Because if you derive your hope from all those other things, the hope started to disappear. Amen? And so there's a huge opportunity that we have. And we need to reach a world that desperately needs Jesus. So if there's whatever we carry is what we leak to the world around us. We're carrying all of the worry and frustration and discouragement and whatever that's pretty natural to see if you spend any amount of time watching the news. You know, there's a quote that I heard from Bill Johnson that really helped me in a ton. Maybe it'll help you. He said, if we're spending more time watching the news than in the Word of God, then our discouragement is self-inflicted. That helped me a lot. Guilty is charged. Amen? Because people are desperate for hope, and they're not getting a whole lot of it watching CNN. Amen? Or whatever they're watching for the news. We have an opportunity. So I think it's really important that every believer knows how to share the gospel with a non-believer. And that's actually what I wanted to do real quick here this morning. There's a variety of ways that you can share the gospel. All sorts of different ways. And the way that I'm going to teach you this morning is not the way that I use the most. I wouldn't even know if I'd say it's the most effective way. But it's one of the easiest ways to teach. And so that's why I'm going to teach you that. Okay? I think it's good for people to have different, in different situations, you have different amounts of time that you have to spend with people. You know, with a family member, you have a bit more time maybe in how you'd share the gospel than with the drive-thru lady at Burger King. Fair enough? You're going to be pretty direct with the drive-thru lady at Burger King. You don't have a lot of time. Amen? So this is the 5-minute version, all right? This is not, like I said, this isn't what I use the most, but I think it's very easy to teach, and I think it's very good that everybody knows how to have a 5-minute version of that, okay? So everybody has a testimony. Your testimony is life before Jesus, how you came to know Jesus, life after Jesus. Then to share the basics of the gospel and a prayer for salvation, okay? So all of that should be done in 5 minutes or less. If you can't do that in 5 minutes or less, every American's in a hurry. They don't have time. Right? All right. So, don't make this, oh, and you can use like when you rededicated yourself to the Lord. That's all right, too. Don't make this fake. I'm tired of hearing people's testimony. It's like, I had all these problems and life was bad, and I found Jesus and all my problems went away, and now I have perfect joy and peace all the days of my life. Really? Pray for me. Please. So don't make it fake, okay? So to be able to do all that, then the basics of the gospel. What needs to be in the basics of the gospel? They don't need your end times view. Right? They don't need to know if it was 7 literal days of creation or 7 periods of time. They don't need to hear the word sanctification, propitiation, atonement, and justification. Keep it simple that a 5-year-old can understand, because quite frankly, a 5-year-old can understand.
Yeah, right.
Amen? Try to remove all of the Christian slang. That's difficult for those of us that have been in the church for more than a decade. What in the world is asking Jesus in your heart? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it doesn't exist anywhere in the Bible. It's Christian slang. If you've never stepped foot in a church and somebody says, do you want to ask Jesus in your heart? What are you talking about? How do I get a guy who was dead on a cross a long time ago to go inside of a beating organ? Right? Let's be real. You guys awake, alive? All right. So I don't even use the words repent and sin anymore. I say all of us have done bad things and we can choose to turn away from those bad things. Now I'm getting an argument about what's sin and what isn't sin. No, that actually is a sin. You don't think so, but it is. And that actually isn't a sin, but you thought it was. I don't get into that discussion. God can figure that out with them in time, right? The reality is most anyone should be able to agree with the fact that they are not perfect. Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right, then sometimes people get to that point, and then, so what should be in there? What's the basics? Jesus loves them. They should know that, right? We've all done things wrong. That separates us from God. God didn't want you separated. That's why Jesus came. He died on the cross, took the punishment for what we've done wrong, so we could be forgiven. Don't leave him dead on the cross, all right? Put him in a tomb. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. Now, that's all that really needs to be said, right? That's about 20 seconds worth of information. Doesn't take very much time, all right? And then sometimes people get to this far and they're like, but I don't want to offer to pray with them for salvation because what if I mess it up and then they think they're saved and they're not really saved because I said the wrong words? Guess what? The best way to make sure that they're not saved is to not do it. I'll guarantee you they're still not saved then. It's much better to try and fail while you're trying than to fail by not ever trying.
That's right.
Amen? Because we learn once we start doing. Then we're in the process of growth. When we're not ever doing anything, we're not growing. Amen? So I asked them, would you like to choose to pray to turn away from what you've done wrong and make Jesus your God? And then give them a chance to respond. Don't be like, please, you need to say it. Yes, I need it. No. They're a big person. They can handle themselves. Let them decide. Amen? Okay, they say yes. So what needs to be in a prayer for salvation? Please don't make this so difficult that only a professional evangelist can do it. Jesus, please forgive me for what I've done wrong. Help me to turn away from it. I make you my God. Amen. That should be enough. Yeah? And then at that point, you can say, you know, there's this amazing church called Living Waters. You should come check it out sometime. Can I pick you up and bring you? Or whatever.
Right.
Encourage them to read the Bible. Don't tell them to start in Leviticus. That is not nice. All right, so let me do this real quick. So, under 5 minutes. Okay, so when I was 20 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had multiple tumors in my body. It wasn't until I was getting worse with cancer that I started to think a lot about spiritual things. Where will I go when I die? How do I know where I'll go? And so forth. And I'd seen earlier in my life that when I prayed to the God of the Bible that I knew that he was real. And so I said, God, I don't know how long I have to live, whether it's one more day or 100 more years, but God, however long I have, I want to live completely for you. I'm tired of wasting my life living for myself. Because I realized just how empty and lacking of purpose it was when I just lived for myself. And so cancer was a long, slow process. I had cancer for 3 years, and now I've been cancer-free for 15 years. But God put purpose in my life where I didn't have it before, and now I've been very blessed to travel the world and train other people to have them see the power of God move through them. But God wants to give you also purpose and meaning in your life. You see, Jesus loves you. All of us, we've done things wrong, and that separates us from God. But God didn't want us separated. And so that's why Jesus came. He died on the cross. He took the punishment for what we've done wrong so that we can be forgiven. He didn't stay dead on a cross. He was raised from the dead. And now we really have a choice with what Jesus did. We can reject Jesus, but then we'll face the punishment for what we've done wrong when we die. Or we can choose to turn away from what we've done wrong and make Jesus our God and be forgiven. Would you like to pray to do that right now? Okay, repeat after me. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for what I've done wrong. Give me strength to turn away from these things. I make you my God. Amen. There you go. That was about 2 minutes. You can do this, right? All right. You're right. I think I can. Good. Then we'll do it right now. How's that sound? You guys know me. If I'm talking about something before too long, you guys are doing it, right? Everybody get a partner. Whoever's sitting next to you works. If I did it in 2 minutes, I'll give you 3 minutes. If you do it in longer than 3 minutes, we're sending you to seminary. You got to be a preacher. All right? So, person who has longer hair on your head, you go first. Life before Jesus, how you came to know Jesus, life after Jesus, basics of the gospel, prayer for salvation, 3 minutes or less, go for it. First person should be winding down. If you're just barely getting going, first person, you're called to be a preacher. When the first person's done, then the second person goes. Same thing. Life before Jesus, how you came to know Jesus, life after Jesus, basics of the gospel, prayer for salvation. All right, second person should be going if they're not already. Ah, well done. How many of you, both of you, are done? Raise your hand. Okay, we'll give another minute just for everybody else to catch up.
We both got saved.
I wasn't too worried about you two. Good when the elders of the church get saved. All right, 30 seconds. Okay, how did it go? How many of you, this was the first time you've ever tried to do something like this? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. How many of you are professionals? You do this all the time? Not too many professionals. Okay, how many of you thought, what in the world is he asking me to do? It's all right. Okay. How many of you were surprised that it was easier than you thought it was going to be? Okay, cool, good.
We came to realize how much religion we can have in our
fantasy. Yeah.
We had to do some tweaking to get rid of some of our Christianese words.
Very good.
That was very, very, very good.
Good, yeah. It makes a big difference, for sure.
And this will be on YouTube, so we'll watch it and train other people up.
Yay, multiplication, my passion. Good, all right, cool. So, even as you're doing this right now, God might be laying it on some of your hearts of somebody that you need to have this conversation with. So I just want to take 20 seconds. If he's not, no big deal. If he is, take a moment, write it down, write it in your, you know, type it in your phone, whatever. But I just want to take 20 seconds. So God, if you have people for us to have this conversation with in this next week, God, show us who that is. And God, I pray that you would make it really, really easy and natural. Go ahead and write down anything he shows you. All right. Amen. All right. You know, there's an opportunity. Like I said, that is not the way that I use the most. I think it's a really simple way to teach people, okay? What I typically do is just go after having people have an encounter with God and then pray with them for salvation, you know, share the basics of the gospel. But I think that's a very easy way to teach. So, anyway, I do want to have a time to go after healing real quickly here this morning. I always say these two things related to healing. Number one, don't disqualify yourself. Don't think, well, I haven't read my Bible enough or prayed enough or did that enough or done that enough, all right? And number two, pray with authority. All right, don't ask, beg, and plead for God to heal. You can command, use your authority, be healed, be clean. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Those were prayers for healing in the Bible. Amen? All right, so everybody stand up. I want you to get in the, okay, this is my new COVID-19 disclaimer before we do this. Okay, in any church, there's two groups of people. There's group A. Group A is you came here, you gave everybody a hug, you shook everybody's hand, and you're not that worried about social distancing, all right? And then there's group B. That is not you. You are trying to socially distance, and you are trying to give yourself some space, okay? Judging by how the percentage of, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I would imagine that if you're in group A, find somebody who is not in your family to go and pray for, okay? If you are in group B, still take prayer and receive, you know, take prayer or pray for people, but just pray for people that you drove with that you are not socially distanced from. Does that sound good? All right. So I want you to, if you're in group A, get in a group of three people, nobody from your family, okay? Go ahead. If you're in group B, then get in a group of people that you drove here with today. Go ahead. All right, everybody, not four, not two, not five, not 22. Three is our magic number. You guys got three? If you got extras, send them to a group that doesn't have enough. All right, cool. In your group of three, assign one person to be number one, one person's number two, one person's number three. Go ahead. All right. Now, those of you that know me, you know I'm going to start with person number three. Ha, 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 ha. All right, here's the deal. Most Americans need a healing. So, person number three, I want you to think, where do you have any pain or problem in your body? What do you take medication for? Maybe you have allergies. Maybe you don't see 20/20. Maybe you have pain somewhere in your body. Maybe you have asthma or a sleep apnea machine or high blood pressure, high blood sugar, okay? Number three, in 20 seconds or less, tell one and two where you need healing. Go ahead. All right, number one and number two, do not get impressed by the problem. I want you to tell number three, this is really easy for Jesus. All right. Go ahead, lay hands on number three where they need the healing, unless you shouldn't put your hand there. And then, I realize some of you are used to praying for the sick, you do it all the time, but for those that are not used to commanding with healing, I'll make it simple the first time. I'll just have you repeat after me. Then I'll turn you loose the next round. Sound good? So, Holy Spirit, oh, you guys sound half dead. Holy Spirit, we release your presence to touch these bodies. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command all pain, every problem, get out right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now whatever problem they told you about, I want you to command that to get out of their body in Jesus' name. Go ahead, out loud. Excellent, amen. All right, let's go to number two. Number two, tell one and three where you need healing. All right, one and three, lay hands on number two. Invite the Holy Spirit to touch them, drive out the problem in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Yeah, drive it out. God gave you authority. He's backing you up. Pain's gotta go when you command it to go. Migraines, get out in Jesus' name. Stomach problems, get out. Oh, no, of course I would. Yeah. All right, let's go to person number one. Number one, we're going to do it different. Put your hands on the shoulder of number one. We're going to get a word of knowledge. We're going to practice getting words of knowledge. So God can speak to you what the person needs a healing for without them telling you, okay? So ask that God would show you a picture in your mind or of the body part that needs the healing, or that you'd hear the still small voice of the Lord tell you the body part that needs the healing. Just like the guy you saw on the drive-thru had the word of knowledge for the gal who was working at the drive-thru. Ask that God would show you where this person needs healing. All right, tell them whatever you felt like God showed you. Give them feedback. Let them know if they got it right or wrong. And if you wanted prayer for something else that they didn't say, let them know what that is. Remember, if it's even minor, like if they said sinuses and you get seasonal allergies but you don't have them right now, that's correct. When you're done praying for all three people, have people test it out. Check and see who's healed. Check and see who has a difference. Who can't test it out? Maybe you don't have the pain at the moment. Okay, check your bodies. See how you're doing? All right. Some people may already be completely healed in your group. Find out if anybody is improved but not perfect yet, whether that's 10% better or 90% better. If you have anybody in your group who is improved but not perfect yet, I want you to lay hands on them and pray for them one more time. If Jesus can do 10%, he can do 100%. He can do 80%, he can do the last 20%. So go ahead, find out who's improved, and lay hands on them one more time. All right, if there was more than one of you that was improved but not perfect, then lay hands on anybody else in your group who needs it. And when you're done, go ahead and grab a seat. All right, go ahead and sit down. Okay, as you're going back to your seats, I want you to think however many body parts or conditions that you can test are at least 70% better, okay? Like, if they prayed for high blood pressure and we don't have a cuff to put on your arm, don't count that. We're believing God did something, but that's not testable. I want you to think however many body parts or conditions are at least 70% better since you walked into the doors of the church today, okay? So, like, if you had back pain and they prayed for that and that's 70% better, that's one. And if you had hearing loss and now you're hearing just fine, now that would be two. So then you'd put up two fingers, okay? So go ahead, grab a seat. I want you to think how many body parts or conditions are at least 70% better than hold up fingers for what that is. Go ahead. Hold them up nice and high. I'm going to count in just a second. All right. So one, like, not like this, like this. All right, good. One, two, three, four, five. Five? Praise the Lord. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You had five?
Five what? No.
Five things are better?
Oh, no.
How many? Oh, okay, cool. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Cool. Can we praise Jesus for this? Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. We don't have time to hear all the testimonies. I'm sure they're amazing. You should share them with somebody, though. Maybe share them with Dave after the service. Now you got a lineup of people. You're like, well, I wouldn't volunteer for that. But is there anybody you had healed of something you had more than 20 years or was very severe? Okay, well, that's fine. All right. I'm sure you have great testimonies. Sorry. Okay, I have a few resources if you'd like to grow in Holy Spirit ministry. Okay, this you saw the clip from earlier today. And this is the first movie, the one that I was in. So some people are like, well, we know you, so we want the one that you're in. And some people are like, well, I like the one that I just watched the clip from. So there you go. That's that one. These are really good for showing people who will never step foot in the church. Because people have 5 minutes to watch the supernatural. And once they see something, it changes their heart. If you showed people the clip that I just showed you today for 3 minutes and then offered to pray for them for healing, I think a fair number of them would say yes. Amen? I have a teaching CD called God Wants to Heal the Sick Through You. So if you'd like to grow in healing ministry, that's there. If you like open heart surgery with no anesthetic, this is the book for you. This guy mentored me when I started doing stuff overseas. It's called Humility, the Hidden Key to Walking in Signs and Wonders. Man, I was repenting of things I didn't even know I needed to repent of when I was reading this one. If you want to grow in hearing God's voice and in getting words of knowledge, there's this book right here by Randy Clark. Most books on words of knowledge are horrible. They're basically something like, it's because you don't obey God very well. That's why he doesn't ever speak to you. And I'm like, wow, I feel empowered. Thanks. And I didn't even know what to look for. And so it's a really simple book, practical on hearing God's voice. All right? If you like a book on how to live this as a lifestyle where you go, there's this one. I interned for this guy. He's preached here at this church before. At Bethel, back a decade ago, I interned for him. This is from my friend Jason. He was the year before me at Bethel's ministry school in Reading. He made a book summarizing the Bethel ministry school with teaching on healing, words of knowledge, prophecy, and so forth. But what I love about the book is if you have teaching but no activation, it's easy to make it more difficult in our mind than it is. Fair enough? So how are you going to have demonstration and activation in a book and not just teaching? He did it. He made a video component to it, and he tells you where to go online at the beginning of the book for each chapter to watch a video clip that's activation and demonstration-oriented. And then this last one is my favorite book on healing. I was going to have a book on healing. I had figured out how I was going to write it with keys on healing that helped me in a greater way to see more breakthrough, having chapters on, you know, not disqualifying yourself, but instead having compassion on the sick, using authority, and so on and so forth. I interned for this guy at Bethel. He says, I want all my interns to read my latest book. And what is it? Keys that helped them see breakthroughs in healing, with a chapter on those two things and like 3/4 of the exact subject matter of how I was going to write my book on healing. So this is my favorite book on healing because this is the one that I wanted to write. So anyway, all that's in the back. And that is all I have for you. God bless you guys. Pastor Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Amen. We will have healing teams up here. We'll have people to pray with you, altar teams. Healing goes way beyond just the body. I am thankful for body healing, but God wants to touch every part of us. So Let's stand together. I just want to bless you. There's coffee out in the lobby. Father, we thank you for coffee. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God, that you're just amazing in the way you continue to pursue and love. I pray you bless each one now as we move on with our week. Lord, I pray for encounters for each of us as we go. God, somebody that we can give a 5-minute presentation of your goodness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.